Anyways, hi, hello, hello, welcome, welcome everybody. Hoshkaidem, hello, welcome back!
People don't know about her Turkishness.
It's my third language. But anyways, hi everyone, welcome back to the world, another episode of Pirates in the Caribbean podcast. I'm your host, Sahara.
I'm Ikran.
I'm Manira. The way she says her name always distresses me.
Why?
I'm Ikran.
It's true, I am Ikran.
Okay, just
Icky
to me.
For all the
Ikran, not Ikran, not Ikran.
It's Ikran, yeah. Some people are like, oh, but you can use your name as an M, Ikran.
That's a different name.
Yeah, that's what I heard, but they're like, no, it's the same.
Name as an M. Some people are so rude.
People are rude.
I was like, no, it's Ikran with an M.
How is everybody? How's life? How's things?
Hot and flustered.
Oh, exactly, that's. You took the words out of my mouth. Hot and flustered. It's
too
hot.
London's not built for this heat.
No.
Oh, this episode is going to drop the day before Eid, inshallah. So, Eid Mubarak.
Yes.
Anybody who's listening on Eid day.
Yes. Eid Mubarak.
You know,
Eid Mubarak.
Or anyone who's listening today on the actual Tuesday, struggling to fast. It's hot out here in these streets.
Yeah.
The day is much longer than Ramadan. Keep going. You've got this. yeah. But yeah. Because no, yeah, it's gonna drop on Tuesday, inshallah.
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna be fasting, so
and it'll be Eid, inshallah.
And then it will be Eid. So mm-hmm. If you're listening to us while you're getting ready with your Eid, doing your Eid makeups,
getting ready for the Eid gala,
blackout Eid hashtag blackout Eid on Twitter.
Is that what you guys are going for this year? What color are you going for? You guys doing color?
My husband wants us to match, but then I said to him, I don't think that can work.
What does that mean? If you wear the white khamis, you're going to wear a white abaya?
Exactly. And I said, you're wearing a white khamis, so I'm not going to wear a white abaya.
I mean, you could do.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not a bride.
You ever wore a white hijab?
No.
Have you ever wore a white hijab?
I did once, I'll never do it again.
I said to him, I can wear my nikah outfit, which wasn't a white.
Oh, you can go for colour. You can go for a bright colour. That would look nice with white.
Blue, grey, baby blue.
Blue would be nice.
Yeah.
I've got so many abayas already, though. I don't really want to buy a new one.
It's true, Wallahi.
Is that...
I've got
better
abayas.
Is that evil?
No, you can get... You can just wear one of your nice abayas and get a new underlayer, maybe. Or a hijab.
Yeah, that's true. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. But he only made that announcement yesterday. It's a bit late. It's a bit late in the day.
Exactly. Even though you made a point earlier when you were like, this is the only Eid that we know what day is.
Yeah.
I still feel unprepared.
It's alright, I just, anyway.
Someone at work says to me, oh, it's Eid on Wednesday. I said, yeah, and they're like, so does that mean I'm not allowed to put any meetings in your calendars? I said, you can do, probably won't be there, but.
That's right.
Entirely up to you when you want to do.
I'm currently, anyway, my head teacher's trying to say I can't have Eid off. It's currently, it's an ongoing issue. I'm on YouTube right now, so I'm not going to go any further than that. I'm not going to go any further than that, but so.
Like 2 years, 2 days of the year.
Exactly. I actually went to work while I had tonsillitis. More for me. Because you don't get rewarded for actually, you know, trying your best in this life.
I'm telling you, you don't get rewarded for it. I'm telling you.
But yeah.
These people will put your job up before you're even in the ground.
Oh yeah, 100%. They send a reef to your family. That's what I always say to my colleagues. I'm like, we can't come and die here. Because once you pop your clogs, mate.
Exactly.
Your job will be up on the website and they'll send some flowers to your family saying, my condolences. Keep pushing.
Exactly. If you're lucky, they'll probably put you on the internet.
Yeah. If you're lucky.
For a day.
You've
made
the cut.
Snatch you down.
You made the cut.
Yeah. 24
yeah.
hours.
Yeah. Yeah. 24 hours. And then we need to advertise something else coming up.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But
that's the ones that care.
Eid Mubarak anyway, guys. Yeah. Inshallah, we make it to that day. And, yeah.
It's a very special episode today, guys.
We have a very special guest. At the end of last week, we did ask people to leave us questions, and we said that this week's episode would be about Ikran's weight loss journey. Because I know you lot have been seeing the picture, she'd be looking mad skinty. So she's here, she's ready to talk about it. She's ready to lay it bare. Is it today?
No, it's on Thursday.
It's her 1 year anniversary on Thursday.
The day after Eid, actually.
Yep, so say congratulations to her.
I and is our
podcast anniversary.
Podcast anniversary on the same day as well.
Oh yeah.
So,
yep, literally. Celebrations all round.
Exactly.
So
double one.
How do you feel?
How do you feel? 1 year on.
I feel good. Yeah, alhamdulillah. It's been struggles up and down. But yeah, I don't know. Like, remember last week I was saying, like, people see the change, but when I look in the mirror, I don't really see that much of a change.
But overall, 1 year on, are you glad that you did it?
Yes.
Okay.
I am glad that I did it, but...
We'll get into your other... Whatever your other thoughts
mixed,
are.
Mixed feelings about it, but yes.
But overall?
Overall, yes, alhamdulillah. I'm glad that I did it. Like last time, remember when I was showing you guys the picture that we posted?
Mm.
And I couldn't believe it. And I think I showed it to you guys. Like,
I'm not going to lie, I don't recall you looking like that.
Why does everyone say that?
I remember that day.
I remember that day.
Yeah, I actually don't remember.
You know, who took the picture? Yeah. I literally got it from your photo album.
Yeah, on my WhatsApp.
And because I was looking for something and I was like, oh, let me. And then I don't remember that picture.
Mm.
I looked at and I was like, hold on, who's this? I said, that's me. I said, wow. Like, you know, when you actually like, I said, wow. I texted everyone. I said, why didn't no one tell me that I looked like this? I started sending pictures to everyone. I said, guys, you know, this is me. They're like, no, it's not you. I'm like, yeah, it is me. Why no one tell
it's
me?
It's weird. Like, I just don't recall having any thoughts or feelings about that.
Me neither. That's so funny.
But I guess it's not really something that you judge your friends by.
No.
So maybe that's why we just didn't.
I told you, I was delusional as well. I always thought I was skinny. So, my delusion.
But I feel like it's always like that though. Like, you always, there's times where you might look back on pictures and just.
Oh, trust me.
Do you know what I mean? You're like, oh my God.
Yes.
Now, I wish that how I looked when I thought I was fat. She.
Because there was a time, a year that you also went in, remember?
Yes, Ikram. Distant memories now.
No, it's not distant memories, come on.
But yeah. So obviously we asked people to ask questions, and we got some questions via Instagram, our emails, etc. And obviously we're just going to throw in some other
questions.
Dive into it. Alright.
So, first question for you, Vibes. Obviously, like, well, why'd you do it? What were your reasons? Yeah.
In the beginning, let's start in the beginning. So I did it because I didn't want this operation at the beginning.
Mm.
It was only when I went to my dietitian and she suggested it, and then I was just like, no, thank you. And then she was like, just think about it, come back to me, because I think this is a good route for you to have, because basically I have thyroid. I had thyroid problems since like 2015. I got mine removed, and then since then I've been gaining weight. Like, I'll go gym, I'll exercise, I'll try to eat healthy. I remember a time when I was gym with my sister and we were working out. Like, I used to.
You lost spare weight one time though.
I did, but it would quickly come back on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was really hard to maintain it. And then obviously when I'm not really good with medication, I have to be now, but. With my if I miss like a dose of my thyroid medication one day or a few days, that's it. Like, my whole my levels would be upside down, and then I'll put on like 5 kg in like 10 days. I'm not even joking. It was crazy. So my weight was always up and down, and I remember I decided to go to my GP because I was going gym with my sister and my friends, and we was going gym, eating healthy. We were taking ourselves accountable. We had like a group. They were going once a day, like to the gym, like in the evening. But I used to go twice. I used to be so strict, and I wasn't losing any of the weight, but they were. And I just didn't understand. I was just like, what's happening? Because I'm trying to be strict, like, you know. And these heifers are not even putting in half of the work that I'm putting on. So I went to my GP and I just said to him, listen, I'm a bit worried about my weight. I just keep putting weight on, and I just don't understand why. So,
is that where you were assigned with like a dietitian and like?
Yeah, so I got assigned the dietitian. First, they assigned you to like weight loss programs, like Weight Watchers and stuff like that.
Yeah, Slimming World.
I went, I didn't understand it. I didn't like it. I was just like, no, thank you. I tried it. It just wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's point things, I just don't get it. I'm a big believer if you just eat healthy and go gym, you'll be fine, right? But there's different ways of like calorie counting. I think, and that's what it is, just bare calorie counting. And then I was like, it's not working out for me. So he was, when I went back to my GP, he's like, okay, so why don't you try a dietitian? We'll sign you up. You can have one up to a year. I said, all right, cool. So I went to see my dietitian, really nice lady. Me and her chit-chatting. She knows about my thyroid issues, and she was just like, okay, let's try this. Let's cut our salt. And I did that for a while. Tried, nothing was working. I think like 9 months into my seeing the dietitian, she was like, oh, have you thought about weight loss surgery? I was like, no. I said, weight loss surgery? I said, I was like, no, thank you. I'm okay. I don't want it. Like, it's fine. I'll continue my gym. I'll be fine, you know? And she was like, no, I think because of your thyroid, it's not really stable. You're always going to put on weight. So this is your best option. Think about it. She goes, go think about it, discuss it with your family, come back, and then make a decision. So I talked to like one of my really close friends about it, and I talked to my my mom. My mom was like, hell no, she's like, are you dumb? She was like, no, just she was like, keep going to the gym, you'll be fine, and eat healthy, your body will catch up. My friend was like, you know what, what have you got to lose? Just see what your options are. I said, all right, cool. So I went back to my dietitian. I said, okay, I was like, I'm a bit hesitant, but let's see, innit. So I went to see my consultant at my local hospital, really nice guy. And I told him, I'm a bit hesitant about this operation. Like, he was like, looking at your medical history and stuff like that, he goes, you're a good candidate and I think it will be the best course for you. But he was like, anytime you want to stop, we can stop. It's not by force to have this surgery. Because let's just see where it goes. I said, all right, cool, no problem. As soon as I got signed up to the program and accepted, the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
So I couldn't like, so I was seeing my consultant like over the phone talking to them, you know, and then he was always saying like, try to lose weight during the pandemic, which was really hard. There was no gyms, like, you know, but I was still like going for walks and stuff like that. But because of my thyroid, I was still putting on a bit of weight, and I was just honest with my consultant, and he was just like, no, let's try different things. And I think during usually because of the you have like meetings, you have group meetings, but I couldn't have that, so everything was over the phone. So I was always talking to my consultant about my like my issues, and I saw a psychiatrist over the phone asking me bare questions, and I did research, and that was about, it took about 2 years. Remember, I talked to you guys and I said, guys, I'm gonna do like a weight loss program. Some people had mixed feelings about it. Some people were like, no, Kran, you don't need to do it. Some people were like, oh, just see your options. If you want to, you can do it, you know? I had mixed feelings from my friends. They were like, some people were like, my sisters were like, hell no, you don't need to. I had the, my siblings saying, no, I feel like this is the, you know, cheating, I guess, or easy way out. And I was just like, nothing about surgery is easy. Like, do you know what I mean? And alhamdulillah, one thing about me, I always like consult Allah for everything. So I always prayed istikhara during my process, and I asked Ilahi like to help me, like, you know, if this is a good decision for me, like, you know, make it clear, innit? Make it like easy for me. And my whole process was really easy. Every time I talk to the doctors and everything.
Let me stop you. So sorry. You know, Ikran tends to, because I'm, but why did you, what was the final reason why you
what
said...
What made you go for it?
Because obviously your doctor suggested it, but that's not the only reason you went for it. Because doctors say things to me or say things to us all the time. So what was the ultimate reason why you said, actually, I'm going to do this?
I think, like I said, after praying istikhara and everything, and talking to my family, I just was like, you know what, I've had enough. And I feel like, basically my consultant was the one that was like, listen, you're going to lose weight. It's going to stabilize your thyroid, because that's one of the things that was really triggering me, because I was just like, I just want to be able to lose weight normal, healthy, like normal people. And he was like, no, because you literally don't have any thyroids and you're always going to put on weight. So I think that was the main reasons why I did it. I just
because you felt like you felt like it wasn't, if you didn't, then obviously the thyroid was always going to kind of dictate your weight.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that's the reason why I did it. So mine was more medical reasons. And obviously the doctor was like, oh, it's going to be a good quality of life. But I didn't even think about that. You know, I know weight loss surgery, or you're going to lose bare weight. But my main thing was, okay, it's going to stabilize my thyroid, I'm going to feel much better, then yeah, let me go for that. Afterwards, I thought about, okay, I'm going to lose weight. I never really thought about that as much.
And what surgery did you actually have? Because obviously people don't know that.
That was another question as well.
Okay, so I had a gastric bypass. So there's different surgeries. So there's like the sleeve where they cut like 80% of your stomach.
There's the balloon.
There's the balloon. I don't think it's...
balloon's not surgical. You have to swallow it.
Yeah. I think it... And then after 6 months, you have to get it taken out.
Yeah.
And then removed.
It's short term, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think they had the... Was it the cap? I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. They had the... But... The biggest ones, the two ones that people usually have is the bypass or the sleeve. I had the gastric bypass, and the first time, when I first saw my consultant, I wanted the sleeve. Mm. I didn't want the bypass.
The sleeve is where they cut off 80%
of your stomach. Yeah, 80% of your stomach. And then the bypass is when they still cut your stomach, but then they attach it to your small intestine, so it bypasses your other stomach.
That's why it's called a bypass.
A bypass, yes,
right, that makes sense. Actually makes sense. So,
And the reason why I had that, my doctor actually changed my procedure.
I remember that, yeah.
It was, remember?
Some acid thing.
Yeah, I had acid reflux, and I had really bad acid reflux. And the reason why, actually, you know, through this process, yeah, I realized I had
allergies.
Allergies. I had some
maybe
blood.
Maybe let's not get into that. Because there are a couple questions in terms of...
Let's say I just found out a lot of things about my health.
Yeah. What happened to
that? My journey through this operation, yeah. But yeah. Yeah, that's what I had gastric bypass.
Tara? So I've asked two questions now. I don't want to keep going.
Okay, so I do have a few questions. Sorry. I was looking at the questions I had. You mentioned what surgery you had. Did you encounter things that you was not informed of?
Mm.
About or you wasn't prepared for?
Yes. So during my we do a lot of blood tests. The doctors that take bare blood tests, a tube down my throat to check, like, you know, your stomach content and stuff like that. Remember that day when Sarah came to pick me up from the hospital?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I found out they had H. pylori. So H. pylori is a stomach bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue I had it. But looking back, I should have known I had it, because I remember I thought, yeah, that I had that I was allergic to, like, to dairy and stuff like that. Every time I used to eat pizza, I used to throw up.
Mm.
Every time I had, like, sauce, things that I like, I used to throw up. And I used to think, that's it, I'm gonna, like, try to go, like, no dairy, don't have no pizza, anything like that. And doctor's like, no, it's because you had a stomach bacteria. It's called H. pylori. A lot of people have it. Some people, they feel bloated, they always throwing up after they eat.
So is this after or before? Is this after your surgery?
No, during the process.
Before they actually had surgery, like the pre.
Yeah, because they have to do bare checks to make sure. And obviously, like, I'm anemic, so my operation got cancelled. Remember when I was,
she'd done that diet for how many days?
Yeah.
No, well, you know what I think about that day? I still get so upset. I think I cried to everyone. I was so upset because they put me on a 2 weeks, no food, like, literally liquid diet, where I could only eat soup. And the soup was Weight Watchers low-calorie soups.
Is that something you knew before you agreed to have the surgery? That you were going to have to go on this two-week liquid diet?
No. My surgery...
So that's also something you encountered that you weren't expecting?
I was thinking, like, why do I need... He was just like, to shrink... Basically, you need to... Your stomach is on your liver, so you have to, like, shrink your liver. And to shrink that, you have to go on a liquid diet.
Yeah.
So I was just like... Sorry, what? No, 2 weeks of... No. I was like, all right, cool, 2 weeks. I was like, no problem. But it's harder than you think.
It's very specific items.
It was very specific. I couldn't have, like, things. I didn't want to come out. I just didn't want to do it. I was just like, I've had it. Like, I went into deep depression. You don't even understand.
So you actually thought it was a lot easier
Then what it turned out to be. Yeah, but I did it because I had to, or my operation would have got cancelled. It got cancelled the first time because I was anemic. My doctor basically was like, sorry, I don't want you to die.
But at least your doctor was doing the right thing.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm really sorry, we'll reschedule it after. And also I had to make sure that my thyroid levels were perfect. It was just a lot of things. And then he said you have acid reflux because you had the stomach bacteria. So they had to make sure that I didn't have the bacteria anymore. I had to do more tests.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said that I had a rare blood disorder that I didn't know. So my blood is AB something. It's very rare. And that something to do, like if I fall pregnant, I have to like have this sort of injection thing. It's called Reese's disease, I think. Mm. Which I didn't have no clue about, to be honest. And I was just like, and I have to carry this card always with me, just in case if I get into an accident or anything, God forbid, you know.
They know they can't give you certain blood if you need transfusion.
Like yeah, it was just, I felt like it was just not one problem after the other, but it was just a lot of things that I found out
a about lot of myself. Discovery. But I handed it in a way that you found all of this stuff out, because if you didn't go for the surgery, you probably wouldn't know any of that stuff now.
Yeah, I'll probably still have H. coli and I wouldn't even know that I've had it.
Were any of those things a result of weight gain?
No, I don't think so. The doctor said, listen, a lot of people are walking around with this stomach bacteria. They don't even know. Some people don't even have signs. And some people, it gets really bad that they'll at the end, they'll see, like, you know, they start throwing up. They'll go to doctors and they'll do the, they'll put the tube down their throat and stuff like that. And then they'll, you know, they'll just give, you just need really strong antibiotics, like, to you. It could come back, so I have to do regular checks as well.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, if I still, like, if I... Again, one of my signs was, like, I couldn't eat dairy, anything, cheese or anything like that. It used to make me throw up instantly, you know? So he said, if you have any of those signs, just come back. We'll do another schedule and then we'll see. I said, all right, cool. So, yeah, it was very enlightening of, you know, to see that I had a few issues that I didn't know about.
Obviously, everybody kind of takes their own route to, like, deciding whether or not to do something like that. And I think, like, prior to having the surgery, were there any ailments that you had or issues that you had that kind of made you... What made you go to the GP in terms of, was it body pain? Were you experiencing anything negative as because of your weight?
Yeah, it was... You know what it is, yeah? Because I kept going to the gym, like I said to you, and I just kept putting on weight, I just didn't understand. I was thinking I was less bigger when I started the gym than when I actually started the gym, if that makes sense. So I just didn't understand because I was eating healthy. I was making sure that I wasn't eating any carbs or anything like that, you know? And then it was just... And I was thinking, no, Kran, you need to, like, get it together now, you know? I'm a tall person, so people don't usually naturally see that I'm a bigger girl.
Mm.
But after a while... When you start seeing, actually, you're getting bigger, you know, it's a problem. And I wasn't confident about... I've always been a confident person, number one. Like, my weight has never stopped me, like, from enjoying from life or anything.
Yeah.
I was always on the streets. You guys know me. You know, yeah. I didn't care. Big or not,
yeah.
I was out here. Do you know what I mean? But at the same time, I did start to feel uncomfortable about myself. And then I was just like, no, I don't, I'm not happy. And I always used to tell people, if you're not happy about yourself, you're not a tree, do something about it. So that's why.
Her favorite is you're not a tree, you know?
It's true. You're not. Are you a lamppost? You are not a lamppost. So I was like, you know what, go and do something about it. So I went. I seeked help from my doctors and said, what can I do, you know? And then obviously... When I started doing my research about weight loss surgery, which I never knew about, I started going on YouTube. I've watched, I think, like thousands of videos on, like, it was always Americans. I've never found anyone that, like, I found one or two UK people.
I guess people don't really, you know, UK people feel embarrassed to share their story. Americans, they just do their thing.
There's millions of videos. They're open.
Yeah. Why not? I say.
Yeah.
So, you've done the 2 weeks liquid diet.
Mm-hmm.
You've now gone through the process of having your surgery.
Yep.
What was the recovery like?
Okay, the recovery wasn't too bad. Like, I think I was okay. When I first opened my eyes, I remember screaming my mum's name. And then the nurse came running and I was just like, what is... I said, give me morphine now.
Which is okay.
it was a pain that I felt like I got stabbed. Like, obviously, by the way, gastric bypass is a keyhole surgery, so it's not like they cut you open or anything like that. You just have like a
I've seen it on my £600 Is that my favorite show?
I'm not even gonna.
That's you don't know I've got problems.
I'm not even gonna ask.
Yes, I
you, you know, so yeah, I've definitely seen how Doctor Now does the keyhole surgery in the two sides and then they move the cameras.
Exactly. And they've told me about that anyway. You know, when I was going to see my consultant, they used to say to me, this is what we're gonna do, this is what we're gonna do, this is how the surgery. So I already knew what they did, but I really was like, who stabbed me? I said, like, I was telling the nurse, morphine, please now. I was literally like crying. I'm a bit of a drama queen.
You
think? I think the people know. But just so in case, I'm glad you made a disclaimer.
I was like, no, guys, I'm dying. Like, and then I called her and I was like, can you call my mom? And then she was like, let's settle you down first. And I said, no, I'll speak to my mom now. Huh?
How many times did you say she had?
I think a few times. Do you know when I was going down here, the doctor was trying to talk to me and I said, no offense. I'm trying to tear my shahada. I ain't got time for you. Don't ask me what I do. I don't care.
You know why they tried to talk to you while you're falling asleep to just calm you down?
No, I just said to nothing.
They tried to like make you feel a little bit.
So I've got sort of serene.
Yeah, I was like, I've got
to ask to make.
They did that.
The anesthesia lady, she was like, oh, sick. I said, please, sister, please. I don't have time for this. I was like, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I was like, please. And I was just like, and then I remember saying, please, God, wake me up. When I woke up, I was like, alhamdulillah.
After you started screaming the hospital down.
After I screamed the hospital down.
I'm glad you didn't rip anything, any tubes out of your... You know some people have really bad reactions to waking up from anesthetic.
They put disclaimer like, you know, anything could happen. Like, you know, things could go wrong. You might not wake up. They'll tell you. They're really realistic to you, you know?
They have to be.
Exactly. Well, yeah, so I was just
so like, you woke up like a crazy woman.
Yeah, like
then
a crazy woman.
How long after that were you allowed to go home?
I think I was there for like 2 days because my blood pressure was really low.
Okay.
And they weren't happy with that, so they said until like you feel, and then they gave me bare medication. One of the nurses tried to kill me, but my friend was there. That I was like, hell no, you know, because she didn't know, but she already some lady the other nurse gave me my medication already. She was trying to give me another medication, and I was like, no,
I've already had it.
Yeah, but I was already like dizzy because I had so much medication. I was on morphine. But thank God my friend that was a nurse.
And you hadn't eaten in probably 24 hours
Exactly. And they give you like water and you can only have liquid. And every medication I had, it had to be either like crushed or it used to be like liquid.
Yeah.
And again, after my surgery, you need to be on another 2 weeks liquid diet, by the way. So basically, I was on a liquid diet for a month.
Yeah.
Really and truly, for a month I was on a liquid diet. Could not chew food. I was thinking, oh my God, I think I forgot. Like, one of my biggest fears was that when I started eating again, like, I actually had high anxiety about eating food and thinking that it was going to, like, I was going to choke. Because I was like, I can't remember how to chew.
Yeah.
I literally was like, I can't remember how to chew. And I was like, what if the food gets stuck in my throat? I was very apprehensive about eating. Literally. Wow. Very apprehensive about eating.
So when you went home, could you, like... sit up, could you walk around?
Yeah,
like,
I could walk around. It wasn't literally like I think like after like a week I was fine. 2 days I was in pain, but I had loads of pain medication. I just made sure, because anyone that knows me knows that I don't have high pain tolerance. Like pain tolerance is very low. A paper cut and I'm on the floor. So imagine surgery. I was like, so my mom every 4 hours she'd be like, before we get to the 4 hours, let's give her medication.
Because we don't want to hear it, basically.
I was like, I don't want to hear this girl crying, because I'm like,
did you have any expectations coming out of that surgery? And what was you like in terms of results? Was you expecting something soon? Did you think, you know, things would move quickly? Like, what was your expectation?
No, I knew I was gonna lose weight, and because obviously I basically haven't eaten, but I didn't have. I just, my main thing was just get better, just feel like yourself again. Because I feel like for a good maybe like 3 months, I didn't feel like myself at all. I felt dizzy. I was always tired. I just wasn't myself. I couldn't do things, like, you know. I was always low in energy. And my doctors did tell me, you're going to feel like that, you know, but gradually as you start eating, you get more energy. I can't stand protein shakes. I still take them to this day, but that was my life for like a month. Like, you know, So no, I didn't have no expectation. I did, but I knew I was gonna lose weight. But it wasn't. I wasn't thinking, oh my god, yeah, in 6 months' time, I'm gonna look like this or something like that. That wasn't in my mind. My mind was always like, take step by step, day by day, see how you feel. You just wanna be yourself. Like, you know, you wanna feel energetic. You wanna be calm. You know, you wanna do things. You wanna be out on these streets again. You know.
Did you? So obviously, like, prior to the surgery, they gave you lots of support. You got to speak to a psychotherapist, a dietitian, a this or that.
Yeah.
So now that you'd had the surgery, what was the post-surgery support like?
Okay, so I still see a dietitian every few months, and I see my consultant every like 6 months. So I'm on the NHS program for weight loss surgery, and so it's a 2 year. So they will keep me up. They'll keep me in their program for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So every few months I go see. They take my blood test. If they see that I have to be on vitamins, that's why I'm always like talking about vitamins, because
yes, I remember bringing you some from Turkey.
Yeah, remember, as I
you didn't know it was an injection.
Alhamdulillah for nurses in my family, that's all I have to say. So it was just like a lot of things like that I had to think about, you know. So
they kept you with a consultant and a dietitian, but okay, so the psychotherapist part stopped.
No, it stopped. My dietitian, I could talk to him. He's like, anytime you have any problems, any worries, especially when I first had my surgery, I was on the phone to that man every day. He had enough of me. He said, please stop calling me. I said, no, I will call you every day.
What kind of
questions I would ask him, silly questions like, oh my god, can I have this protein shake?
The conversation that you would have with a dietitian would be different.
It was all about food.
The conversation you would have with.
So, all about food, basically.
Yeah, it was all about food. My dietitian was all about food, what I can eat. I was just like, he was like, this food made me feel a bit funny. I'm not sure about this. I would just ask him, like, every question that I had, because I wasn't sure, you know? And I was like, I have to do this protein shake. And I think there was one time I was drinking this protein shake and it was, like, too sugary. And I could feel it because I kept getting dizzy and stuff. Like, you know, like, when you know you have, like, high sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, drop that. And I had a lot of stools. So stools is like when you lose weight and then when you stop losing weight, basically.
Mm-hmm.
For maybe sometimes some of my stools are like few weeks, some of them a few months, you know. Mm-hmm. And they told me anyway, you're gonna stool, so it's fine. Just try to like change.
Do something different to kind of kickstart it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Did they say that to you before or after the set?
I knew all of this. Like and also remember, because we were in the pandemic, even though I was seeing my on the phone, I did a lot of research. I was researching about this surgery, a lot of things that people don't tell you is like you have like hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, guys had a lot of hair. My hair's like, it was like a maze. Now it's like, I don't know how to describe it.
You're being very dramatic. I saw your hair last week.
No, yeah, but compared to what I had before.
It's coming back.
Yeah, it's coming back now because obviously it's been like a year post-op, but my hair was like proper shedding a lot.
Yeah, so hair shedding.
Hair shedding.
What else?
You can't eat and drink at the same time. So they'll tell you, they're like, that you have to space out your meal. So you have to eat first and then wait half an hour and then drink water or juice or anything like that, whatever you're drinking. So you have to do that. And that was really hard because I'm the type of person that used to eat and drink at the same time. I found that really hard. But I was just like, but one day I tried and then what happened? I was on the floor crying. So I never did it again. I was just like, okay, yeah, no, I can't. I think one of the side effects that I have is that I have nausea. Like you guys see every time I eat, like I can't, I have to lay down. Or I have to always have chewing gum with me or mint or something to make me feel better.
Was you told in depth prior to your surgery in terms of, you know, when you eat and then you feel nausea, what the results of that could be, why you might potentially feel like that? Was it told to you in a way where you can only eat a certain amount of food, or if you don't, then it would lead to this, or
yeah,
was that just something that you kind of ended up kind of picking up on?
My doctors did tell me like you're gonna know when you cannot eat no more because your stomach starts hurting, or some people like get like hot flashes. Like everyone's different.
You experienced all of those.
Yeah, I've experienced all. Remember when I started sweating? when I eat it, and I was like, why am I sweating? It's because that's it. And it's so funny, people say to me, Karen, you haven't eaten anything, you had like 2 spoons, like, what do you mean? Like, you know? And even sometimes I'm like, wow, it's true, I've only had 2 spoons and then I'm full, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 hours later I get hungry. But yes, my doctors did tell me you're gonna experience different symptoms and stuff. However, I did my own research. Like, I was on TikTok, I was on YouTube watching videos. So a lot of people did say these symptoms, this is what's gonna happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I've experienced. I was watching like loads of vlogs with people like saying like, you know, I had hair shed, I can't eat as much. People had like dumping symptoms. And I've experienced that one time. So,
what's dumping symptoms?
So basically is when you eat and you're overeating and your body starts to like reject the food, so you either have to throw up. Because I had the bypass, for me it's really hard to throw up. I actually can't throw up.
Mm.
It's really hard for me. And then I remember one time, why did I have some calamari and then 10 minutes later I'm on the floor about to call 999 because
I feel like... fried.
I felt like someone stabbed me in my stomach. I felt like, oh my God, I've literally damaged my stomach.
Yeah.
It's like one calamari. Why did I have it? Because another symptoms that I had, and remember, everyone's symptoms is different, by the way. Some people can't drink cold water. Some people, they feel nausea just by drinking water. But for me, it was more of like, once I experienced, the dumping one was like, I started like sweating. I was on the floor. I felt like I was going to... I literally felt like I was having symptoms of heart attack. I was literally this close.
I can't even laugh.
To call 999. I was like, I'm calling 999 because I can't.
Was you told about do's and don'ts?
Yeah, like, I was told do's and don'ts.
After you have surgery, there's certain foods that you should avoid.
Yes.
And did you pay attention? Did you actually follow them?
No, I didn't follow them all. I'm not going to lie to you. But then what happens when I don't follow them? The consequences come to you real quick.
Right. And that's like a... Obviously, one of the concerns that I always raised with you from the beginning was that the surgery helps you drop weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, one of the concerns with all these kind of surgeries is that you can undo it. And I know that because of my £600 life candidate.
Yeah.
You can like eat it back out, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern always was, is that how do they help people deal with their relationship with food? Because if you've cut your stomach, right, to a certain point, and that's great, and technically you can't eat past a certain amount, as you and probably every other person who's had the surgery,
mm-hmm.
you ate more than you should have, and it made you feel ill.
Yeah.
Right? So how do they support people with that? Because, yes, you can cut me, and that's great. But if I am going to eat too much... somebody needs to help me with that.
Yeah.
So how did they help you?
I think that's why you have your dietitian that you speak to about.
Okay.
And they say to you, they do have classes as well. Well, before pre-pandemic, my hospital, they used to have classes, but they stopped the classes.
And they never brought it back.
And they never brought it back. Because I asked them like, okay, so the aftercare. But I really have like a doctor, my consultant, my dietitian that like, call us anytime. If you have any issues, we'll help you, you know, to make sure that...
it would have been nice for you to have a community though.
Yeah,
people would have had it done as well.
And that's another reason why I made a TikTok for my my own personal TikTok. It's called Dr. Blackstar. Follow me, guys. Where I opened about my surgery, and it was because I had you guys.
But we don't know how it feels.
Yeah, I just didn't have a community of people like me. I'm really sorry, but all the YouTube channels I watched was just white women. I could not relate to them. I feel like one or two black...
you know, black people are like, I ain't telling my business in public.
Exactly. But also, I never saw any Muslim women talking about it at all. It's different.
Yeah.
I'm black, I'm Muslim. Do you know what I mean? I just didn't relate. I was thinking like...
And also, you can't speak to them.
Yeah.
They're speaking to you, but then after that, the conversation's over.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know. I wish, like, I could talk to you guys. I'm like, guys, I'm feeling like this
today.
Yeah,
but we
like,
don't get it 100%.
It just wasn't the same. Like, mm-hmm. I was like... I wonder if there's a group or community out there
mm-hmm.
that did the same thing as me. So me, I was like,
let me put it out there.
Let me make my own community. And once I did that and I opened my TikTok, do you know how many messages I got from Somali girls, Muslim women, that have actually was like, oh my God, I did this surgery. Yeah, I did, but nobody knows that I did it. Like, you know? And I was like, okay, that's fine.
I know people like that.
Yeah.
Where nobody knows they've had the surgery.
They've never had the surgery. And they were like, do you know how much I want to talk to someone about it and let them know how I'm feeling? And they literally went through what I went through. Yeah. But they didn't have anyone to talk to, like me. Like, you know?
But imagine literally nobody knowing. That's
that
mad.
You went through. Me, I was... you guys know me. I'm an open book. I was very vocal. I was like, guys, I'm doing this. I need support. Do you know what I mean? I could talk to my friends and let them know. But like I said, the community that I got and the sister saying and everyone sharing like, oh, eat this or eat that, or like, you know, let's support each other if you're feeling emotional. And I always tell people, alhamdulillah, one of the consultant was like, when I was doing my consultation to see if I'm okay for the surgery, was like, you have to be a good mindset, like, you know, you have to make sure that you know what you're eating. And I've been battling with the exercising and gym for a long time, to the point I feel like I can be an expert in nutrition at the moment, you know? I know what I need to eat. I know what's good for me. Yes.
But it's the actual doing it part.
Actual doing it and indulging in it. And it's nice to have that community. So that's the reason that I opened up my TikTok as well to you.
Do you think, prior to the surgery, did you have a... Because I know you mentioned you was having consultation with your doctors and your dietitian regarding food and actual surgery and the procedure and etc. Was you ever given someone to speak to regarding your mental health, regarding how you would feel emotionally prior to the surgery, and kind of like how to kind of deal with certain, you know, things that might come up, or how to deal with it overall emotionally? Because it's a lot.
Yeah.
Emotionally, it is a lot for you to go on the... Do you know what I mean? Under the knife and to have surgery. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to take on.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, you don't know what's on the other side.
Yeah.
In terms of whether you have expectations or whether you don't, whether you think, you know, you're going to have a good relationship with food, whether you're going to, you know, however you're going to deal with it, you never really know.
Yeah.
Or how it might affect you.
Again, because my whole operation and my journey was through... During the pandemic, no, I didn't have... I just had, like, my consultation with my doctors. But they were very open, like, if you have any emotional needs or you need to know something, let us know. But no, I didn't. My main support, like I said, it was just to go
friends,
on YouTube and friends and see, like, you know, this is how you might be feeling. And the funny thing is, yeah, the amount of research that I did compared to what I actually felt afterwards was opposite. All the videos I watched on YouTube and TikTok, I had a completely different experience.
That's the thing, though. I was just about to say as well, do you think watching all those videos and having to teach yourself or having to research certain things actually helps? Because there's only so much that it can do for you, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's... It can't... I don't know. Maybe everyone's different. Emotionally, if you're going through something, you can research something. You can watch a YouTube video. But like you said... Everyone's experience is different, right?
Yeah.
So having done all that research, did that actually help you? Did it actually meet your expectations? Like, was it what you was expecting?
No, it wasn't. Because like I said, I did so much research. I was like, yeah, okay, I know I'm going to have hair loss, you know? I'll be able to deal with it. It's fine. They were giving tips like, you know, make sure you take your vitamins, have your hair... you know, put oil in your hair, blah blah blah. But when I actually went through it, I felt emotionally drained about it. I was really upset. Like, I felt like, to the point I was just like, this is not it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't prepare yourself for how you're gonna feel. You might know something's gonna happen, but you don't know how you're gonna feel about it until it happens.
Exactly. Like, there was a few things that I think I even had like a book when I wrote a lot of things like, yeah, this is what's gonna happen to you, and then this is how you can fix it.
Mm.
But when you're actually doing it, because remember, you're also emotional about it. Like, sometimes when I eat food and I feel sick afterwards, I do think to myself, like, why, Ikran? Like, do you know what I mean? Why did you... Like, I do have
to... You get annoyed of yourself.
Yeah. And I instantly be like, is this life? Like, is this how I'm going to continue to be, like, forever? Like, I'm going to eat food and I'm just going to instantly fall... And it only lasts, like, my nausea, me feeling sick, need to lay down, is like half an hour. But that's a lot emotionally.
Especially if you're in public.
Exactly, you're going through a lot. And you guys see me in public, I have to shut down, I have to be quiet. I'm like, I'm trying to not throw up. So I'm just trying to go doing breathing exercises and not try to, you know, be a lot emotional, because it's a lot. Because I'm feeling like, because I was telling one of my friends, she's like, it sounds like, you know, when you go through, you know, when you're pregnant and you have like loads of pregnant symptoms, it's not nice, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how I feel majority of the time, you know? So no, I don't think emotionally I was prepared for what I was going to go through, but I just learned now, just to be like,
you know. I mean, yeah, it's a year down the line, isn't it? So I guess.
Yeah, you have, you know, so I just have to be, now is like I said, if I eat something and I know it's going to hurt my stomach, I tend to avoid it because I went through it before and I know how it made me feel like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like having nausea, but unfortunately that's one of the symptoms that have stuck with me a year down the line. Yeah.
I've got a question before I just read her comment because it's quite sweet. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, girls. First and foremost, I would like to tell you all that I love listening to you lots. Three amazing black women that I view as big sisters. Because we're aunties. May Allah put only khair and barakah in your lives.
Ameen.
Thought that's quite sweet. So she said, congratulations to Ikran on your weight loss. You look stunning. Allahumma barak. You also look stunning before your surgery. Her question is, so she's studying physiotherapy.
Okay.
And she wants to know if you experience any pains in your joints before the weight loss, such as your knees and ankles. And if so, has the pain reduced now that you've lost weight?
You know, that's so funny. Yes. Because now I can walk up the stairs. I used to have like, obviously me, the majority of my weight gain was always on my stomach. Mm-hmm. So my legs were carrying the majority of my weight. So yeah, I used to have like knee pains and everything. Mm-hmm. But yes, since I've lost the weight, I don't feel that. Even like walking on heels, guys. I could not walk on heels for 2 seconds because I couldn't carry it. Now, when I walk on heels, I can walk on heels for like more than like an hour before I dash away.
She's making progress, y'all.
I've made progress. So yes, definitely. I can walk up the stairs more now without feeling out of breath, without my legs hurting me. So yes, I definitely feel like the more I've lost weight, the more my joints have become a bit more free, I would say.
Well, there you go. Because
I'm not carrying the weight as much, you know?
What would you say, like, if I would say to you, okay, your biggest benefit from doing this surgery, what is it?
I think my biggest benefit from this is just seeing that I'm more healthier now. Like, I can go to the park and run with my son. Honestly, like, you know.
If I say that, like, Nabs is six. I love it.
I know. We go to the park.
I just pictured him, that's why.
Yeah, he's a big boy now. But sometimes, like, he used to say to me, especially summertime, he'd be like, Mom, come to the park. And I'd be like, no. Because, like, by the time I walk to the park, I'm back, I'm tired, I can't. Yeah. Like, you know. Now I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like, you know.
Yeah.
We can walk up the hill together.
Yeah.
You know. We don't have to take the bus. I remember times where, like, because we live up on a hill.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, let's just walk. And I'll be like, no, I'm taking the bus, even if it's 2 stops. I don't care. You know?
Yeah.
Because I'll be tired and out of
but
breath.
But now you feel the,
but now like I can do little things with him. You know, and he sees it. He's like, oh my God, and he always says to me, you look so much better. Like, you know, we do more things together now, you know?
Aww,
we walk more places so together. Sweet. Yeah, like, I feel like I've benefited, like, health-wise a lot, that I feel more. Like, I'm not out of breath. Guys, like, you know when we used to do this, the podcast, like, from season one? I remember, like, you know when we were speaking, I always, like, the mic, I could always hear, like, me out of breath.
Really?
Yes.
Breathing.
Like, my breathing was, I was always out of breath. And it used to annoy me.
I remember you mentioned it last
time. Remember? I was, like, literally.
It's mad how you proper don't notice things.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't know it until she mentioned it to me.
So you'd be on the mic.
And I could feel, like, I'm just talking and I'm out of breath.
And damn, Daniel.
I'm not out of breath, like, you know. But now I'm not out of breath. I can walk longer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can do things without. Last time I remember, my mum's lift was broken, and I was walking up the stairs, and I got to the fourth floor, and I was not out of breath, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I said, why am I not out of breath? Like, I literally shocked myself. I was like, why am I not out of breath? I was like, this was easy. Before, first step, I have to take 10-minute break. Second, I have to take another 10-minute break. By the time I get to the fourth floor, I'm 40 minutes down.
Wow.
Got another question. If you could go back before the procedure, what's one crucial thing you will do different?
I don't think I would do anything different. I think I would just be like, I would take it a bit more serious that this is life-changing, because this has changed. Is life changing? I thought, oh, weight loss, it's fine. Like, you know, I'm just gonna eat smaller now. That's it.
Yeah.
No. It's much more. It's mentally, especially when you're not feeling well and you start eating, and you know that, like when we go to a restaurant, guys, I'm literally battling in my mind. I'm like, I can't.
But you're actually delusional sometimes. Like, you order things and it's like...
Yeah, because she knows she ain't going to finish
it. I'm never going
to
finish it.
Do you remember we had to battle for you to order from the kids' menu?
Yeah.
They said no. And I was like, but we shouldn't be wasting food. And she ain't going
to
eat it.
And I say to the... And I'm like... And I always take away. Remember, I always take everything
takeaway. Yeah, she's the takeaway queen now.
I legit have like 5 bites.
Doggy bag queen.
Yeah, that's me. Literally, like 5 bites, so I have to wait. And then, but my other problem is that because I eat so little, after 2 hours, I get hungry again. Like, I'm starving. Like,
so
I'm
not take the container anything. Just...
Yeah, I just...
Eat a couple of apples, yeah.
I take my container. When I get hungry, I open that container and I eat a little bit and I put it down and I can have a takeaway and that can last me for like 2 days, you know?
Yeah.
Literally 2 days.
So you would have...
I would say take it more seriously. If I could go back, I'd say to you, can I take it more seriously? It's going to be life-changing. Your life is not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be lots of benefits, but there's also a lot of... there's going to be a lot of, challenges and things that, like, you might not be ready for. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because things like eating and drinking, it took me a long time to, you know, get over that. But I had to. I couldn't do it.
Is that forever or is that...
Yeah. Mm. It's something that I have to do. Like, you know, make sure that you eat healthy enough. Like, things like... I can't eat fried food. Like, fried... if I eat anything that's really oily or fried food, I instantly start feeling sick. I can't do that, you know? But obviously, now... Like, before, I could only have 3 bites of food and fine.
Yeah.
Year down the line, I can do about 6, you know? My tolerance is still high. But I know that over the years, it's going to get more, you know? I can take more bites to the point. The doctor said, this surgery is not, you're going to eat small forever. No, he said it's a tool. Like, exercise isn't a tool. Like, eating healthy is a tool. This is just a tool that's going to help you. So that's why my dietitian always says to me, make sure that you make right choices, that, you know? And he always says to me, have your ice cream, like, you know, have your chocolate if you want to, but you can't indulge in it like how you used to before, you know? You have to be a bit more careful.
That's another question I had, did you have to, like, how has it changed your relationship with food? Like, did you have to mourn your relationship with food? Because you can't eat what you want to eat.
Of course.
And even when you can't eat what you want to eat, you can eat
little
2 bites of it.
Yeah.
So how did that make you feel?
A lot of learning had to go into this process. I felt like I was like, okay, like I said, I tried, you know me, I'm a bit stubborn, but then what happens? I get sick and I said, okay, yeah. I can't do it again, you know? So I had to learn to be like, I make right choices, you know? You don't want to feel nauseous. You don't want to feel sick all the time. Mm-hmm. I can't be, because mentally it's draining on you, you know? When you're, every time you eat food, you feel depressed. What's the point? You feel like...
Because I guess you feel angry with yourself that you've done something that you know you shouldn't have done.
Yeah, you feel like the joys of life, like, you know, just eating is taken away from you. That's how I honestly feel about it sometimes.
That's what,
like,
I'm saying.
Because, you know,
most people, you know, people love food, right? People connect over food.
Yeah.
Even like Ramadan, for example, we connect over food at the end of the day and, you know, everybody eats together and, you know, or even socially, especially as Muslims, because we don't club and all that kind of stuff, a lot of our socializing is around food.
Exactly.
So obviously you having that and not being able to really indulge in that,
it's very depressing.
Obviously it's not like you come to the table and not eat.
I do,
but you come to the table and you can't really
eat
that
as much. Like before, I used to try and then what happens, I can never eat
sick.
I feel sick. So now I've just learned, you know what, Ikran, this is the way of life. You chose this path, stick to it, sister. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just have to make sure, yes, it is sometimes where you like, oh my God, look at all this nice food and I can't eat all of it, you know?
Mm.
But it is what it is. This is the life that I chose. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's fine. But it's just something that I have to live with. And that's why I said, if I was to go back, I would say to myself,
take it seriously.
Take it seriously.
It's life changing.
It's life changing.
Yeah,
like, take it seriously.
One of the most commonly asked questions, obviously, are about how much you weighed before and how much you weigh now. Obviously, it's up to you if you want to answer that question or how you want to go about answering it. But obviously, yeah, that's like the main thing. How much weight have you lost? How much did you weigh? How much do you weigh now?
So I was like, you know, when I started my surgery and everything, you know, I was like 148 kg. I know I didn't.
I don't even know what that is. I'm gonna have to Google it. I, for some reason, I do stones.
Oh, I do kg. Yeah, I don't do kg. So basically, I've lost.
That is when you were saying kgs. I'm not gonna lie, I was googling it.
Yeah.
I do kg.
Yeah, go on.
I'm 110 now, so I've lost about 38 kg, and because of my thyroid, actually my weight.
Shut the hell up, bro! You weren't no no. You weren't. I just translated it. That's impossible. You weren't.
Well,
you didn't weigh that.
Wallahi, I did.
And I want you to go back to the original documentation.
I do. I have it on my notes.
148 kg.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I first started.
That's 23 stones.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
Wallahi, it's because I'm tall. So people.
That's true. That. What are you? 5'10"? 5'11"? 5'10"?
Yeah. Well, I was 5'10", but people always think I look taller. But I am 5'10".
Yeah, that is tall, mashallah.
Yeah, so you wouldn't think.
Imagine you were short. Bismillah, miskin, you would have been finished.
I'll be on the floor. No one could drag me. They'll have to put me on the table and just drag me everywhere.
Yeah.
But that's when I was just like,
148 kg.
Yeah.
Babes, I would never have, you know, I would never put that on you.
Yeah. But if you only look back pictures and stuff, like, you can
yeah,
see.
Yeah, but you didn't look like that. My eyeball wasn't seeing that.
Yeah, it's because you see me all the time.
And you know what as well? You've always had a slim face.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've always had a slim face. Yeah. This is one of my things I've never had.
Yeah, you've always had a slim face. But not that I couldn't see the rest of you, but I think as girls, I just don't think we look at stuff like that with our friends.
Yeah, it's true. So now I'm 110 kg and I want to get to 85. My mum thinks I'm going to be way too skinny. But
well, I guess you have to see each 5 kg you lose, you can look at yourself and say, how do I feel like this?
Yeah, and my doctor said my weight loss is slow, but I'd rather it to be slow because obviously, like, you know, the more quicker you lose weight, the more you have loose skin and stuff. And again, loose skin is something that I am okay with, you know, I'd rather
loose skin. Are you going to keep the loose skin or do you think you're going to have an operation to remove it?
No, I think I'll have an operation to take it off, but that's not something
I'm worried about. So I guess you have like a goal? Weight where you would say, okay, now I'm gonna
I get to like maybe 85 kg, then yeah, and then I have to maintain it. So that's why, like, before, I'm not gonna lie, it took me a while, because imagine you go through surgery, you're always low energy, you can't bring yourself to go to the gym. After a while, I think about 5-6 months, I was like, go to the gym, Ikran, but I was always feeling tired. Mm-hmm. My thyroid levels, like, were down. The doctor's always changing my medication.
You still have to take medication for your thyroid?
But that's another thing. You know, I used to take really high dosage of medication, but now it's reduced.
Okay, like, so you're still on it, but they've had to take it. They've taken it down
because I've lost a lot of weight. They've taken it down, which is good. He said that's good for you. So the more you take it down, the more you lose weight, the less medication you need.
Obviously, you have no thyroid.
Yeah, like mine's removed, yeah.
Because some people have underactive, hyperactive, right?
Yeah.
So you have none.
Yeah.
So
Mine's underactive. Oh, okay. Mine's always going to be underactive.
If they took it out, so does this mean like... Because I don't even know what a thyroid is.
It's your gland,
if they've removed it from you...
Yeah.
Does that mean that regardless of the surgery, you are going to still have to take medication for
forever,
life?
Forever, yeah.
Just less.
Yeah, just less. I used to be really...
You'd always be on thyroid medication.
I always be on
thyroid medication. My friend don't take his. He did his... He's controlled his thyroid through diet, although that is a risk.
Yeah.
But he doesn't take his medication.
He must be pretty strict.
He must be. But mine's like...
He uses CMOS a lot. But his was overactive, not underactive.
Yeah, see, mine's underactive. And when you take CMOS, if you're underactive, it can affect you.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of research into it. What was I saying? I lost my train of thought. My medication has gone down. I couldn't go gym like all the time. So now I'm... another thing I was worried about, that they said you can't fast Ramadan. But alhamdulillah, with the will of Allah...
You fasted this Ramadan.
I was fine. Alhamdulillah, it didn't... it helped that I was 2 weeks in Umrah, that the times were short. But I didn't have no problems.
I'm guessing you lost weight.
Yeah, I lost that 4 kg
in Ramadan.
I was only there for like 10 days. And my doctors did say, and my dietitian were like, we'd advise you not to fast because your stomach is already small. You're fasting for many hours. It's going to get smaller. You're not going to able to take food or water, you know? You might get more sicker.
Yeah.
That was the risk. But I said, God's got me. Sorry, I'm fasting. I fasted. Alhamdulillah, I had no problem.
Are you happy with your progress?
I could do better, I'm not gonna lie, but I know it's because of my thyroid. I've got, like, you know, my doctor was like, your weight loss is slow, but as long as you're losing weight and you're doing things that you need to do, is fine. Because even though I lost 38 kg, usually with people that have had surgery like mine, by now they've lost like 40, 50 kg within a year. Some right. people even lose more than that, you know? But I haven't, mine's really slow. Which is fine, I'm actually, yeah.
And I guess because at the beginning you were struggling with certain things as well, with regards to food, the food and
yeah, it's whatever, just it's like a process, isn't it? People think, because I used to see people be like, oh, like again, some of these YouTube channels, a bit unrealistic. One thing that I found out was like, someone was like, after 6 weeks of surgery, she went gym. After 6 weeks of my surgery, I still couldn't lift my fingers. I was still tired, like...
But that's... Yeah, everyone's different.
Everyone was different. Everyone's I couldn't. Different. I think it took me around 5-6 months to go gym. And even then, it was, like, really light. Now I'm going gym more often. Now I feel, like, a bit better myself. Now I have built control over after a year. But I still got a lot to learn.
I guess you were still kind of testing the waters with food after your surgery. You were still testing the waters with food after your surgery. So you
it's like a long process.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to... advise people that if they are thinking, you know, advise people that if they want to do this weight loss surgery, really think about it. Mm-hmm. If you're healthy and you're fine, please go to the gym and try to exercise. Yes, if you, I'm not going to tell people what you can or cannot do with your life, but just know that it's a major life change.
Yeah, it's not no quick fix.
It's not a quick fix. If you think, oh my god, yeah, I'm just gonna get skin, yes, you will lose weight, but you think, you know, I'm just gonna eat little bit of food and then that's it, it's fine, you know, I'm gonna be on a calorie deficit for life, which is kind of like that, but at the same time it's a lot of emotional, like it's hard, like it's really hard, like, you know, when people always ask me like, oh, would you advise anyone to have this surgery, I always have mixed feelings about it. I'm always like, if you are healthy, I always say to them, like, what's making you stop losing weight?
It depends on your reasons, basically.
Yeah, if it's like medical reason, like, you know, people have PCOS and they need this extra help, okay, fine, but do your research even then, because you might not be able to handle it. There's I'm on like on a Facebook group, support group, and some people instantly have regrets. Some people are like, I wish I'd never done this surgery. I wish I did more research, like, you know, if I could go back, I would just eat healthy and fight my PCOS, or, you know, try to do better, because this is not life. Like, some people get really, really depressed about it.
Wow. So
if you're not a person that can handle, and I've had 2 years to like research and really think about it. Anytime my surgeon was like, you can stop it, you know, but I was made dua, I was firm on it. But even after that, I still felt, whoa, Ikram, like, you know, are you sure about this? Like, you've done it now. Do you have regrets? Yes. Sometimes, like I said, when I eat food, I cry and I'm like, why did I do this surgery? Like, you know? And then I feel better and I'm like, And then I get really, like, I had not a bad day, but I just get really moody and stuff like that. It's not easy. Your emotions go up and down. Like,
of course.
Because you're not going to enjoy food like you used to. I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah. Before we close off, if people want to ask you more questions about this, or where can, what, just tell them what your personal TikTok was again.
Yeah, my TikTok is Dr. Blackstar,
all things weight loss surgery.
Yeah,
don't bombard her, please.
Yeah, no, I've had so many girls messaging me that we always like,
that was before you said on the podcast, it's gonna be even more now.
I know, right? Yeah, follow me, we can talk about it, and we can do like a support group, because I believe it's important to have, especially if you're like a black Muslim woman, you know.
Because there's not a lot of support like that,
I'm telling you.
Thank you for being so open and honest and for indulging us and our listeners in the questions. You're and
do you have any more you wanna know? Do you have any questions?
No. So thanks, Ikram. And we have been
Pirates
and a Caribbean.
Thank you guys. Thank you for listening to my story.